From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children Night, and welcome to a very special episode of Bob After Dark. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. And I would argue, Bob, to say they're all special episodes because we're always here, whether it be on the radio or the TV, Jet TV, or the podcast version. We're all in this together for some very special episodes, Bob. And we're excited to be back here once again tonight on a very special night of the year.
Yep. So tonight we're not live on podcast. We're not live on Jet TV. No. Tonight's just me in the podcast land.
Yeah, I'm pre-recorded too. So if you're watching,
you're watching it. It's just not live.
It's not live.
It's so not live.
Don't be calling in here, does no, right
no, no,
now.
No. Yeah. And because we're not live, we're going to not do the news stories this week. But there is something we should probably discuss. Yeah. And hopefully next week we'll have a lot further details. Have you been hearing about this whole UFO thing going on?
Of course, the weather balloon talk. They don't know what for sure is those unidentified objects. But there are people saying out there, Bob, there is some speculation that it could just possibly be something that's out of this, out of our world, out of our planet here.
Well, there is apparently the military shooting them down, too.
Yeah.
I watched Mars Attacks the other day just to get me prepped and ready for this.
What do you make of it all, Bob? Is it the UFO? Well, it's a UFO, I guess.
It's a UFO. It's just, is it extraterrestrial or is it another
friend
problem?
Friend or foe?
I don't know. I don't know. The question we should be asking ourselves, is it extraterrestrial or is it, other things going on? We're not a political show by any means, nor are we conspiracy theory podcast, so we're going to skip over all of that stuff, but can't jump to conclusions yet here, folks. We don't know 100% what exactly is going on. There's a lot of speculation that it could just be, the starts of War of the Worlds. I'm not here doing the famous Orson Welles, Welles broadcast, which someday I really want to do that.
The
Orson Welles broadcast. I'd like me and you to do it.
At the time that terrified everybody. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's cool that we get to be out, on radio too.
Yeah.
I understand it's a very interesting format, but I love doing it because I just remember learning about this in college, right? And how exciting and how scary it was for everybody at the time to be listening to that radio broadcast. So someday.
The thing too about the situation at hand here, nobody again knows for sure. I think that's why people are so concerned. Because we don't have a pinpoint track on these UFOs, so to speak. So I guess stay tuned. There's more investigating to be done and more that will come out on it. But the Orson Welles stuff, I mean, way ahead of its time. This was when radio was just radio, right? There was no TV, there was no podcast, there was no internet, there was nothing of that sort. So for folks to gather on the radio and hear what was going on, can you imagine, Bob? I would probably be shook up too if I heard that UFOs were invading our planet here.
Sure.
Terrifying.
Absolutely. 100%.
Spooked. And Orson Welles, can we just throw it out there, had that great voice.
Yeah, the cheese commercials towards the end of his life. And Unicron from the Transformers movie.
Yeah. And what Pinky and the Brain, right? The Brain was based off of
Orson Welles. I'm a big fan. He wrote, starred, and directed in Citizen Kane all by the time he was 26.
Did you know, Bob? I saw the Roger Ebert commentary of Citizen.
I also watched. Anyway, if
did
this
you
is
watch
your,
it too?
I did. I was in your class and we watched it together.
I know this is not a Citizen Kane podcast.
No, but this is a paranormal podcast.
But we still hold Citizen Kane in high regard, right?
I hold it in some regard. It's not some people. We're not a movie podcast. No. We're your paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and weird. weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's take on Citizen Kane.
Bob, I'm going to have to make my own commentary on it. We should do that one day.
We should. Record Welcome Citizen to Kane Bob After Movies. You know, my goal in life, I always wanted to be, you know, a filmmaker. I was just on our mutual friend AWS, Alex Chernozak's podcast here over the weekend. I did an interview
with him. Pretty cool.
And we were talking about my backstory a little bit and how I got into, you know, the made-up film school I did. And I got to, you know, I always wanted to be Orson Welles. I always wanted to. And somehow I ended up being not Orson Welles, which is fine. But
we can't all be Orson Welles.
I get it. So real quick, your weekend update.
Good, Bob, as we transition from Citizen Kane back to reality here with the paranormal. My weekend was back to reality with the paranormal.
Back to reality with the paranormal.
There's no good Orson Welles ghost stories out there, is there? Maybe we could find one along the lines there and see what's going on. But my weekend was good, Bob. Attended a concert here at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana. Kind of helped out with that, too. So that kind of got you in the Valentine's Day spirit. Depending on, I know probably for the podcast people, you'll hear this after Valentine's Day. But it is a bit before day before Valentine's Day when we're
recording this. Valentine's Day is upon
us. So you know you get whether you have a Valentine or not, Bob. You know there's always someone that loves you back and someone that you could love. And listen, people take Valentine's Day kind of too seriously in terms of like, oh, I have nobody to celebrate with. You just love yourself.
AKA Count Panic will be your Valentine.
I'll be your Valentine.
Count Panic will be your Valentine. You know, I wonder if I could get us some custom Valentines done before tomorrow.
It'd be tough, right? Well, the thing too about the, you know, people always consider a Hallmark holiday, which, you know, I get you sell a lot of things.
We talked about the origins of Valentine's Day.
I remember that though.
Okay, so if you believe in the Christianity Catholicism version of Valentine's Day, it's about a dude who got his head cut off in prison.
That too. I know the origins of it, but I'm saying about
the pagan background of that's what the real celebration was.
But here's the thing about you know, with any holiday, especially Valentine's Day, though, candy companies, card companies, flower companies really put their trademark on the holiday as far as getting people to buy their products. But again, at the end of the day, hope you had a great Valentine's Day. And, you know, as Bob mentioned, if you need a Valentine, I'm your guy.
No, not for me. Not Queen of the Night. Queen of the Night's my Valentine this year.
Oh, I know. I know that. You don't need. Well, listen, Bob, you got your own Valentine. That's good
I do.
For you.
I'm very happy with my Valentine. Yeah.
Bob Valentine Day cards. That could be
I'm thinking the Bob After Dark Valentine's Day cards.
Yeah. How about that? Sal, remember that? I know I don't want to get too far sidetracked here because it's a paranormal podcast, but remember in school, it was tough to choose what cards to pass out to the class.
Man. I know.
It was tough.
Tough.
And who gets what card?
Yes, I remember.
Kids will never know.
All right. You want to jump ahead to the paranormal stuff?
How was your weekend? I didn't get to know about your weekend.
Oh, my weekend. Dealt with an ear infection, not mine. That was fun. I feel like my life's been running nonstop since Dad passed.
Yeah.
And I really want to slow it down just a little bit. If it wasn't for that, it was dealing with this or that or conventions. For the first time since that, I'm finally getting a chance to just breathe.
Just breathe.
So I've been trying to watch some movies lately, just, you know, back to Bob reality here, finding what makes me happy and working on some future stuff. We're TV pilots moving forward, you know, at a nice pace, which is exciting. So we're excited about that. And, you know, it's just a lot going on. So my weekend was filled with me trying to mentally play catch up with myself.
Sometimes you need that, Bob, too.
You know, when your body moves faster than your mind, and then eventually your body starts to wipe out, then you got to play catch up with the mind. And that's what I'm trying.
That's the balance there between mind and body. Can you get those two working at the same level at the same time? It's tougher than you think.
So this week, we're second week into Valentine's Day.
No, have more than 2 weeks.
Second week of February, and February is our Creepypasta Month. So for this very exciting podcast exclusive episode, we're going to be talking and revisiting one of my absolute favorite creepypasta topics, the SCP Foundation Secure, Contain, Protect.
Okay.
You weren't here for this episode the last time I did it. I did this as a podcast exclusive.
Well, you're going to have to do a lot of explaining here to me.
Yes. So I'm going to read you the opening page of the SCP wiki, which is where the entire of the SCP lore lives. I'm going to read you the opening page, and then we're going to... I'll explain it, and maybe you picked up on it here. About the Foundation, and this is from the administrator, who is anonymous. So what did we do for nearly 250,000 years? Because mankind in its present state has been around for a small quarter of a million years, yet only a small fraction of that has been any significance. We huddled in caves and around small fires, fearful of the things we didn't understand. It was more than explaining why the sun came up. It was the mystery of enormous birds with heads of men and rocks that came to life. So we called them gods and demons, begged them to spare us, and prayed for salvation. In time, their numbers dwindled and ours rose. The world began to make more sense when there were fewer things to fear, yet the unexplained can truly go away. As if the universe demands the absurd and impossible. Excuse me. Mankind must not go back into hiding in fear. No one else will protect us, and we must stand up for ourselves. While the rest of mankind dwells in the light, we must stand in the darkness to fight it, contain it, and shield it from the eyes of the public, so others may live in the sane and normal world. We secure, we contain, we protect. Signed, the administrator. The mission statement. Excuse me, guys. Timestamp. How long are we in recording? Just so I have that for.
Well, we are 11 minutes in, but we're on the Jed TV. We're still.
Sorry, folks. My apologies. You're good. All right, so operating both small towns and worldwide, the Foundation operates beyond jurisdiction, empowered and trusted by every major national government with the task of containing anomalous objects, entities, and phenomena. Many of these anomalies pose a significant threat to global security by threatening either physical or psychological harm. All of them undermine the natural laws that people of the world implicitly trust in. The Foundation maintains an extensive database of information regarding anomalies requiring special containment procedures, commonly referred to as SCPs. The primary database contains summaries of such anomalies and emergency procedures for maintaining and re-establishing safe containment in case of containment breach or other event. The Foundation operates to maintain normalcy so that the worldwide population of civilians can live on and go with their daily lives without fear, mistrust, or doubt in their personal beliefs, and to maintain a human independence from extraterrestrial, extra-dimensional, or extra-normal influence. Our mission is threefold. Secure. The Foundation secures anomalies with the goal of preventing them from falling into hands of civilian or rival agencies through extensive observation and surveillance and by acting and intercept such anomalies at earliest opportunity. Contain. The Foundation contains anomalies with the goal of preventing the influence or effects from spreading by either relocating, concealing, or dismantling such anomalies or by suppressing or preventing public dissemination of knowledge thereof. And finally, protect. The Foundation protects humanity from effects of such anomalous as well as anomalies themselves until such time that they are fully understood or new theories of science can be deceived based on their properties and behavior. The Foundation may also neutralize or destroy anomalies as an option for a last resort if they are determined too dangerous to be contained. Welcome to the SCP Foundation. Count Panic.
Yeah.
This is one part Supernatural, one part X-Files, part Warehouse 13. Mm-hmm. It's this is the SCP Foundation. So it's a collective of stories, much like the Backrooms we talked about last week, but this is like one of the OG ones. This has been going on for a long time. And what people do is they take their own written in stories about either anomalous entities or anomalous like figures or whatever it might be. And the whole idea is that you need to write your own story based on the concept of you need to contain them. How do you do it? Okay. What do you do? What do you do in case they escape, like that siren that just drove by the studio? And there's thousands upon thousands of entries of these things. Clearly creepypasta based, guys. So we're not dealing any of these in, you know, none of these, in my opinion, are probably something you might catch like a Mothman type creature in the SCP Foundation, but it's not like the things we talk about here are stuff in reality. But Creepypasta Month, man, we get to talk about the fun and unusual, and you know, what's future lore going to be based on? Might be some of these great pastas we find in the SCP Foundation. What do you think so far?
Well, I was going to say, Bob, kind of when you were referencing it or introducing the topic, it seems like some of that could be, you dabble with the X-Files type design too. Some of that's a little more investigative journalism going on to the class files here. So I'm curious to see where this is going.
Yeah, so I picked out five of five random ones that I really like. Again, there's something like, I think, 5,000 of these, maybe more. It's 8,000. There's currently 8,000 plus of these SCPs. And you submit them, and not everyone gets picked to be featured. They have an entire team of people that read these and submit them and let you be submitted, so not everything you type up could be considered lore. I use that in parentheses. But there's different classifications of them, of these SCPs, and I want to go over that real quick before we start. All anomalous objects, entities, and phenomena requiring special containment procedures are assigned an object class. An object class is a part of standard SCP template and serves as a rough indicator for how difficult the object is to contain. In Universe, object classes are for the purposes of identification and containment needs, research priority, budgeting, and other considerations. An SCP's object class is determined by a number of factors, but the most important factors are the difficulty and purpose of its containment. The primary classes are the most, and these are the ones I'm going over here, are the most common object classes in the SCP articles and make up the bulk of the objects. The three most common ones you're going to see. The first one, safe. Safe class SCPs are anomalous that are easily contained, and they're often due to the fact that the Foundation has researched the SCP well enough that containment breach does not require significant resources, or that anomalous requires specific and conscious activation or trigger. Classifying an SCP as safe, however, does not mean the handling and activating it does not pose a threat. Euclid's the second one. Euclid class SCPs are anomalies that require more resources to contain completely, or where containment isn't always reliable. Usually this is because the SCP is insufficiently understood or inherently unpredictable. Euclid is the object class with the greatest scope. It is usually a safe bet that an SCP will be this class if it doesn't easily fall into other standard object classes. As a note, any SCP that's autonomous, sentient, or sapient is generally classified as Euclid due to the inherent unpredictability of an object that can or think on its own. One of the cooler ones, and this is one of the more dangerous ones, is the Keter class or Keter. The Keter class SCPs are anomalous that are exceedingly difficult to contain consistently or reliably, with the containment procedures often being extensive and complex. The Foundation often can't contain these SCPs well due to the having solid understanding of the anomaly or lacking the technology to properly contain or counter it. A Keter SCP does not mean the SCP is dangerous, just that it's simply very difficult or costly to contain. Then there's Thaumiel. Thaumiel class SCPs are anomalous that the Foundation specifically uses to contain other SCPs. Even if the mere existence of Thaumiel class objects is classified at the highest levels of the Foundation and their locations, functions, and current status are known to few personnel outside the O5 Council. O5 Council is like the overarching, like, highest class. Yeah. Are you still with me,
Count? I'm with you,
Paul. Okay, good. There's neutralized. Neutralized means that the SCPs are anomalous that are no longer living. Either they've been internally or accidentally destroyed or disabled. There's Apollyon. Apollyon SCPs are anomalies that can't be contained, are expected to breach containment immediately, or some similar scenario, such as anomalies that are usually associated with world-ending threats, or a K-class scenario of some kind and require a massive effort for the Foundation to deal with. Then finally, there is the Archon class. The Archon class SCPs are an anomaly that theoretically could be contained, but are best left uncontained for some reason. Archon SCPs may be part of the consensus reality, difficult to fully contain, or may have adverse effects if put in containment. These SCPs are not uncontainable. The defining feature of the class is that the Foundation chooses not to put the anomaly in containment. See you with me so far?
I feel you, Bob. There's different levels here, and it seems like each level, as our class system is, you so to speak, is vaguely different, but somewhat similar, I could sense that.
Okay,
as well.
So to make things easy tonight, I'm only going to talk about Safe Euclid and Keter.
Okay.
That's your primarily your
that's
top
our, that's
three.
Our main one.
That's your main ones you see mostly. Euclid being probably the most popular like of them all. If you think about it as a box, a safe thing can exist outside the box. The Euclid can exist in the box, but you might leave a flap open. And a Keter is something you want to close the box and tape up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to talk anything about the Tharmiel or neutralized Apollyon or the Archon because it's just a lot to take in. If you're just beginning your journey on reading about SCPs or diving into the extensive lore that is the SCP Foundation, there are role players and TikTokers and cosplayers. There's animations. There's even a couple video games that are pretty fantastic. Containment Breach is really good. But this is, it breaks down as like the bare minimum, like building blocks of the paranormal, right? And that's why I love stuff like the SCP Foundation. So I have five I want to talk about tonight, Count, and we'll start off.
I'm curious.
I want your opinion about each one.
Sure.
The first one on the list is my absolute favorite SCP of all time, and that is SCP-035, Object Class Keter. SCP-035 is to be kept within a hermetical sealed glass case no fewer than 4 inches thick. This case is to be contained within a steel, iron, and lead shield room at all times. Doors are to be triple locked at all times with the exception of allowing personnel in or out. No fewer than 2 armed guards are to be posted at any time. Guards must remain outside at all times and are not allowed within the containment room under any circumstances. A trained psychologist is to remain sight on all times. Researchers' personnel are not allowed to touch SCP-035 at any time, and I'm just going to refer to it as 035 for, you know, easy sakes.
Yeah.
035 must be moved to a new sealed case every 2 weeks. And that's just the containment, special containment procedures. And anyone who comes in contact with 035 when it's in possession of a host is given an immediate psychological evaluation. Here's the description. So when we read these, containment procedures go first because that like builds up your curiosity to the story, right?
Yeah, I'm curious.
So this one, you're keeping it in a glass box in like a triple locked, leaded, lined room, right?
Yeah.
So they build up the story to you. You gotta get to through the description of, wow, man, that's pretty serious stuff. And because you know it's Keter, you're building up to the description. So the description of 035 appears to be a white porcelain comedy mask. Although at times it will change to tragedy. You know, those old-fashioned Greek comedy and tragedy masks?
Yeah.
So it's one of those. In these results, all existing visual records, such as photographs, video of footage, even illustrations of 35-035, automatically change to reflect its new appearance. So if it's smiling, everything you have about it is smiling.
Okay.
And if it switches to frowns, even if you draw a picture of it, the picture will turn to a frown.
Really?
Or vice versa.
That's
yeah.
Scary, yeah.
A highly corrosive and degenerative viscous liquid constantly seeps through the eyes and mouth holes of 035. Anything coming into contact with the substance slowly decays over a period of time, depending on the material, until it has decayed completely into a pool of original containment. Glass seems to react the slowest to the effects of the item, hence the construction choice of the immediate container. Living organisms that come in contact with the substance react much the same way, with no chance of recovery. Origin of the liquid is unknown, and the liquid is only visible from the front and does not emerge or even visible from the other side. Subjects within 1.5 to 2 meters or 5 to 6 feet for all of us here in America of 035 or come in visual contact with it experience a strong urge to put it on. When 035 is placed on the face of an individual, an alternate brainwave pattern from 035 overlaps the original host, effectively snuffing it out and causing brain death to the subject. Subject then claims to be the conscious contained within 035, and the bodies of possessed subjects decay at a highly accelerated rate, eventually becoming a little bit more than mummified corpses. Nevertheless, 035 has demonstrated the ability to remain in cognitive control of the body experiencing severe structural damage, even if the subject's body literally decays to the point where motion is not mechanically possible. No effect is found to be had if this, when placed on the face of an animal. Conversations with 035 have proven very informative. Researchers have learned various details about the SCP objects and history in general, as 035 claims to have been at many momentous events. SCP-035 displays a highly intellect and charismatic personality, being both flattering and admirable to those who speak with it. 035 has scored in the 99th percentile of all intelligence and aptitude tests administered to it, and appears to have a photographic memory.
Photographic memory, Bob.
Yeah, so however the psychological analysis has discovered 035 to possess a highly manipulative nature, capable of forcing sudden and profound changes to the interviewer's psychological state, 035 has proven to be highly sadistic, promoting some to, trigger warning, not good stuff, I'll just move past that, and transforming others to near mindless servants with the linguistic persuasion alone. 035 has stated that it has intimate knowledges of the workings of the human mind, and implied that it could change anyone's view given enough time.
Hmm.
035 was found sealed in a crypt in an abandoned house in Venice, 18 redacted. And then there's been some addendums just based on some stuff that people have created over time. Though, like, people will write addendums after the fact, like, let's put this one in a room with a different SCP and see how it reacts. I won't read those just for the sake of time.
Yeah.
But you get the general gist of the story. So what do you think of 035?
I think it's interesting, Bob, and a weird kind of way it kind of morphs a little bit with each tally there. But, again, science, there's a lot of science, I feel like, behind here, Bob. I feel like I am kind of in X-Files episode, so to speak.
Yeah, it's... This one's very fascinating because it's the mask and it changes the motion and it has a psychological effect on the person. Even when it's not being worn, it could still torment somebody even just by getting in the mirror like vision of it. And it does, has such a good job of manipulating people. I find that very scarily fascinating. The crying of acid's pretty cool too. And it doesn't seem to be coming out the sides or anyplace else, just the eyes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
it essentially cries. And the fact that it's in the 99th percentile of all the aptitude tests, meaning this thing is highly intelligent, too. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
This is a lot of people's favorite is 035, in my opinion, is just my favorite based on all of those things as far as objects are concerned. Ready to move on to the next one?
Yeah, for sure. Let's let it rip.
Okay, 2006, Object Class Keter, Special Containment Procedures. 2006 is to be contained in Site 118 in an airtight containment cell. 2006 must constantly be monitored for changes in form, which are noted immediately. All personnel coming into contact with 2006 are required to enroll in an acting course with a focus on expressing fear and surprise. Every month, SCP-2006 is to be shown at least one new extremely low-quality horror science fiction movie containing horror elements. All interaction with 2006 must confirm that 2006 continues to believe that said works demonstrate a superb grasp of horror. 2006 is an anomalous spherical entity roughly 50 centimeters in diameter when it's in its default state. 2006's stated goal is to cause feelings of fear and or horror as to many humans as possible. To accomplish this purpose, 2006 possesses the ability to change its shape, mass, volume, density, chemical structure, and voice to form any it desires. Currently, there is no known way to damage 2006. The extent of its shape-shifting abilities is unknown and is currently thought to be unlimited. 2006 has demonstrated a fondness for taking forms of various entities and villains from the various horror and science fiction movies that has been it's been witnessed. The most common form of the SCP-2006 has taken the form of Roman from the 1953 movie Robot Monster. Have you ever seen it?
I have not seen that, no.
Robot Monster's the gorilla suit with the old like diver's helmet on top of it with the antennas.
Yeah,
it's a movie.
Sounds like
art.
It's a
movie. Yeah. 2006 is capable of speaking even when it possesses the form of an entity that is normally unable to speak. 2006 will generally attempt to startle and or scare any individual it comes in contact with, but after doing so will become affable and friendly. The reason behind is currently unknown. 2006 repeatedly stated its goal of causing as much fear as possible. 2006 is a poor judge of concepts that cause human fears and consistently searches for new methods in which to accomplish its goal. The poor recognition extends to the recognition of emotions in humans, as 2006 is incapable of distinguishing between subtle differences in emotion that would be obvious to a human. So yeah, what do you think of that one?
That is a very eerie, and if you're talking about the old school diver outfit, that's even.
It's on a gorilla suit. It's a classic, from like those cheesy movies.
Even more terrifying.
So the idea for this thing is you don't want it to morph into something legitimately horrifying.
No.
So they're showing this thing like these really bad B movies.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I need to take this new form. Well, and if you're a personnel that interacts with it, you need to take these classes to be, and I quote, afraid of it, because if it knows that you're not afraid of it, then it starts morphing into more horrible things. So that's like a world-ending possibility, right? If people are afraid of nuclear bombs, this thing could potentially become a nuclear bomb and destroy everything.
Yeah, for sure. Although the diver thing is still terrifying as well. So I'd be terrified of that, yeah.
You got to look that up. It's from Robot Monster from 1954.
I'll have to look
it
up.
It's a goofy movie. All right, I got a few more for us. Next one up is 902, Object Class Keter. SCP-902 has been regulated to the Arctic base Theta-12, the only SCP to be contained at this site. The site is staffed by a team of 50 security personnel. At this time, no research is to be done on 902. Knowledge of 902 beyond its number is to be limited to level 3 staff and lower. It is imperative that only a limited number of senior staff know about the existence of 902. Only 105 is allowed to know about 902 at a time. In the event of a security breach from inside the Arctic base Theta-12, the iron sought hydrogen bomb is to be detonated remotely. 902 must be guarded at all times against premature destruction. Now, you think this thing is super deadly, right?
Yeah.
Let me give you the description. 902 is a box roughly the size of an adult human head. It measures 30 centimeters by 15 centimeters by 19 centimeters. It appears to be an ammunition box of a type used roughly 30 years ago. Despite this item having been in Foundation custody for roughly 60 years, 902 is completely made out of lead. The composition of the item inside 902 is unknown. 902 emits what is described to be a ticking sound. For anyone who hears this sound becomes convinced that the item is counting down. When opened, the box appears empty. However, the ticking remains, and the object continues counting down. Anyone who becomes aware of 902, whether through personal interaction or by reading this report, becomes convinced that whatever is inside the box is horribly dangerous and needs to be destroyed as soon as it finishes counting down, and if not before. Staff exposed to SCP-902 will typically continue to attempt to open and then close the box, trying to find the object inside. There is no object. There is an object. It has to be destroyed when the countdown stops. We are doing great work. We have to be stopped. End of report.
Okay.
What do you think?
That's an interesting one. So just it kind of ended abruptly there, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's eerie. I mean, that's even more like there's a sense of urgency, a sense of haste when that's the end message there.
Yeah. All right. Last one is a Euclid class. Well, no, I got one more after this. The one after this is a little silly, but it's fine. This one's 024, object class Euclid, special containment procedures. Due to its nature, 024 cannot be moved to a secure location, so security measures must be placed on site. To conceal its location, 5 identical-looking replicas have to be erected around 024. A tightly security perimeter must be maintained around 024's compound at all times, with separate security teams guarding 024 and its replicas. None of the security teams except the team leaders will be informed of the location of 024. 024 must be secured with the magnetically sealed blast doors and reinforced armored walls to prevent unauthorized entry. Under no circumstances can any security or research personnel enter 024. Only D-class personnel. And by the way, D-class personnel are like the low people on the totem pole in the storyline. So let me get you there. Are allowed entry and strictly for research purposes only. All researchers are to observe and experiment with 024 from remote observation lab. Any personnel attempting to leave the remote observation lab or enter 024 without prior approval from a level 4 researcher must be immediately apprehended with termination authorized. Should containment be breached, 024's true nature compromised, the entire compound must be destroyed via specialized demolition charges planted throughout the compound. So this one's pretty serious, too. Let me give you the description.
Yeah.
024 is an abandoned soundstage that was once owned by Redacted. However, 024 itself has been abandoned since 19 Redacted and is unknown whether special properties manifested before or after its abandonment. 024 is located at the heart of Redacted and was initially discovered when a group of teenage youths broke into the abandoned compound. The testimony of one lone winner when she turned herself into police was enough for having the Foundation assets mobilized to contain 024. Upon entering 024, visitors are immediately greeted by an anonymous announcer who communicates via intercom and is able to hear and comprehend voices within 024. The announcers will inform contestants that they are about to take part in a game show in which winners will win fabulous prizes, but will also be warned that the game will be extremely hazardous, and the losers will never actually leave 024. It is at this point when the announcer presents the choice of whether to stay or leave 024. Contestants who accept will continue to participate in the game, while those who decline are immediately expelled from 024. Contestants that win the game or decline to participate may never enter 024 again, and entry is denied by impenetrable, invisible barrier. It is then the contestants are led to the actual game. The style, composition, and of the appearance of the game always changes in every individual playthrough, but the game is always centered along a round, elaborate obstacle course that contestants must navigate through. The rules also vary. Some playthroughs may only allow a single winner, while others encourage creation of teams to win the game. Those many only allow a single winner, more often than not, the obstacles seen in these games range incredibly benign to extremely hazardous and life-threatening. As the contestants attempt to negotiate the course, the announcer will continuously update their status and actively participate in the game, often giving advice, conversing with contestants, or adding new rules. As the game progresses, the obstacles become more significantly dangerous and difficult to overcome, and it is not surprising to have the entire pool of contestants succumb to the rigors of the obstacle course. In such an event happens, the announcer will express sadness at the lack of a winner, and 024 will shut down, resetting only when a new batch of contestants enters. Any attempts to break the rules, such as assaulting other contestants and deliberately bypassing obstacles, are met with extreme violence. The announcer will call out the offending contestant, who will be quickly and forcibly ejected from the course by studio guardians. These studio guardians will immediately materialize within 024, When called upon, they announce and disappear when not needed. The contestant will never be seen again. When a winner is declared, he or she will receive a random grand prize. Any contestants that have survived the course but have failed to win are immediately declared losers by the announcer. The lights will switch off, and the winner will immediately appear outside 024 with his or her prize while the losers completely disappear. However, the most mysterious aspect of 024 is after every game, a VHS or DVD will appear outside the mailbox outside 024's main entrance. The recording is a complete record of the game that was previously played, even though the winners have claimed that they have never seen cameras or recording devices in 024. Also, more strangely, a live studio audience can be seen in the background cheering on the contestants. Again, winners have claimed that they have never actually seen a live studio audience when inside 024. Hashtag panics take
so it's a case. It's a case, Bob, essentially, of a missing studio audience.
And contestants. It's a spooky game show that has studio guardians coming in to take care of business.
How suspicious is this, Bob? I think there's some little hanky panky in this studio set here, but that is again kind of going along the lines of the rest of those. Though that is very eerie. Contestants that are not really there as well, on top of audience members that are not really there as well.
Yep,
interesting.
All right, you ready to move on to the last one?
Sure.
This one's a little silly. I love this one, too. This is
be silly
outside of the realm of, like, serious, destructive, and chaotic monstrosities of SCPs. Writers do have either a sense of humor or just, like, a sense of, like, this could be weird, but not, like, world-ending. So sometimes you get things like this. In this case, SCP-971, object class safe. SCP-971 is to be kept in a labeled file holder and locked in file cabinet number 26 in Site-19's file vault when not being used for testing. Keys to both the file vault and file cabinet number 26 are held by the on-site senior administrative members, and access to 971 for testing is to be allowed only with explicit written permission from level 4 personnel or higher. Due to the potential harmful environmental impact, testing of 971 may not be scheduled more than once a week. Instances of 971-1, meaning that there's an instance on top of an instance, have no special properties other than their mode of delivery and may be disposed of normally. 971 is an old and worn delivery menu printed on a standard sheet of 21.6 centimeters by 28 centimeters or 8.5 by 11 here in America inches printer paper. The name of the delivery service is listed as Quick and Ready Meals, M-E-A-L-Z. No records of such a business exist, and the parent company name on the menu, redacted, denies ownership of said delivery service. The menu listed the company name, a phone number, 1-800, redacted, and several different food items, each preceded by an item code. The food items are typically fast food, including hamburgers, chicken sandwich, chicken fingers, assorted seasoned fries, and carbonated beverages. All are, redacted, brand sodas. The menu features no pictures or prices of the food, and the typeface and design are both minimalistic and simplistic. When holding 971 and calling the number listed, the caller will be sent to an automated menu system. Note, calling the same phone number without holding the menu will send the caller to a help desk for redacted software. The phone number listed on the menu corresponds to the company's listed phone number for their help desk. The automated menu will prompt the caller to input the item codes for the food they desire, and then for their credit card number to pay for the food. Once the item codes and credit card number are input, the automated system will tell the caller the total price, thank them, and then disconnect the call. The caller's credit card will be immediately charged for the price of the order plus the local tax rate for the prepared food. The prices for orders made within 971 are comparatively lower prices than the popular fast food chains in the caller's current location. Once the call disconnects, about 15 to 20 minutes will pass. Afterwards, a paper bag with the Quick and Ready Meals logo, designated 971-1, will appear near the caller. 971-1 almost always appears when all potential observers' attention in the vicinity is diverted elsewhere. Remote video observation 971-1's appearance has been reasonably successful, although not particularly informative. 971-1 simply appears instantaneously with no visual indication of method of its delivery. 971-1 will continue the same items chosen in the phone menu, and all items will be cooked and prepared for normal food and safety inspection health code standards. Aside from the method of delivery, the only anomalous feature of the food delivered is the undefinable meat used for listed burgers, sandwiches, and other meat-containing items. The meat used in the food is from an unknown source and tends to be a bit tough and gamey. Simple testing has proved it's not typical beef or chicken stock, and personnel D-1282 convicted of multiple counts of cannibalism verifies that the human meat is not human. More rigorous testing in 971 samples have been approved. The meat used in the food, this is an updated version, but I figured I'd tell you anyway. The meat in the food is a form of assorted animals on the EEC endangered species list. Further DNA testing on the meat, as well as reports sudden weight loss and muscle mass loss in animals from several zoos, confirmed meat from pandas, cheetahs, red wolves, and several other animals that are commonly endangered species to the general public, not the more esoteric endangered species such as the equilateral dog-faced bat or the Oklahoma cave anthropod. So no cryptid meat. The food does not seem to cause any compulsion to eat it, nor does eating it endanger and eating the endangered animal fast food meals overtly harm the subjects eating it, save for the high fat, sodium, and calorie counts associated with fast food. The menu itself causes no compulsion to use it, other than fast food menus and a double-blind, testing, and has shown no ability to teleport or reproduce when left alone. Occasionally, other copies of 971 are found outside the Foundation control, as scanned and printed copies of 971 has the same anomalous properties as the original, and these copies are to be confiscated and destroyed. Due to the lack of mobility of 971, this SCP is considered safe and requires only minimal containment procedures. Yeah, so that's one of my more favorite ones. It's just kind of this goofy, magical food menu.
I like that, too. And, you know, who says it has to be a magical food menu? Why can't it be a menu in a real, although some may argue it is real life, so I don't know.
Yeah, so that's it, folks. I picked out 5 FCPs that I found interesting just to do for Creepypasta Month this week. What do you think, Out?
That's a pretty cool, Bob. And again, these are creepypastas. We don't know. It blurs the lines a little bit, right, between what is real and what is not.
Yeah.
I mean, who's to say a creepypasta can't be real?
I mean, there are cases of things like Slenderman where, you know, it's very potential being a... you know, a tulpa where we believe in it so much that it becomes real.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
I mean, it could happen to anything.
Yeah. Yep. So, outside of that, Count, you enjoy learning about the SCP Foundation?
I did, Bob. And again, it's fascinating. Now, is there a certain site people can go to?
Yeah, I'll post it up in the notes below, okay. But it is the SCP Wikia.
Okay.
And they have all 8 sections, which I believe contains 8,000 articles. So you could go and pick it by class. So if you're more interested in the apocalyptic level things, which I'm kind of more fascinated with, you can search it by Keter only. If you want to find the sillier ones, there are silly SCP-like listings like the menu, but there's like other ones like a fortune cookie whose fortune is never wrong, stuff like that. There's a lot of them. I personally recommend Tat's Top Videos on YouTube. They're an animator group that does like SCP animations, and they'll make up like fake interviews with SCPs and stuff too, which I think is very fascinating. So I highly recommend checking out Tat's Top Videos for their SCP stuff.
That's the go-to spot?
That's where I learned about the SCP Foundation for the first time, and I've grown very fond of them since. There's a lot of podcasts that exist only to read like 3 or 4, you know, entries a month or a week because you're never going to run out.
No.
There's 8,000 of them, and they're constantly being updated.
Well, that's the cool thing too. I mean, sometimes you hear one story, then it's gone for all eternity. But with these stories, they keep on coming back, so you could create some news stories out there. So it's pretty interesting stuff. And again, something I don't think most of the public still to this very day know about. So Bob, you're bringing this to their attention.
Absolutely. Count, you got any closing words for the audience tonight?
Closing words, again, hope you, well, by the time you're listening to this, Valentine's Day has concluded. The veil is at its thinnest.
Get yourself some 50% off candy, folks.
Candy is on sale right now.
Yep.
Get your local shops up. Get some 50% off candy. Some call it the best time of the year. But the veil is not thin for the candy. It's still thick at the moment.
Sounds
so
good.
Bob, again, another great episode. And be careful. Those creepy pastas out there, they'll sneak up on you.
They will. Folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count, we want to wish you sweet dreams. Mom, just want to wish you sweet dreams as well. Tiff, no matter where you are, I hope you have the best sleep of them all. And Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, safe, and comfortable. Catch y'all next week and see you. The two rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.